We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, it's time to go to work. Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Happy Monday. Welcome to the show. Your guest list for today is as follows. A good friend of mine, and he's one of the best in the business to talk all things NFL salary cap, NFL contracts, Joel Corey, used to represent Shaquille O'Neal. He's coming up in 30 minutes at 6:30. We'll talk to him about Cam Newton of the Patriots, but also more locally focused, what's going on with George Kittle? What's the update? What's it going to cost? Joel is outstanding at this stuff. He has a sixth sense for how to predict what these deals are going to look like. Christian Fourier, two-time Super Bowl champion, former Patriots tight end. He's in an hour at 7 o'clock. John Clayton, NFL insider at 8:30. We got a million things we got to get to today. Lowe's out. JD's in his stead. Very happy to have him on the show. We're going to talk about this at 7:30. 16. Count them, 16 consecutive days of NBA basketball starting on July 30th. If my math is accurate, based on Pacific times, of those first 14 days, 12 will have games starting at 11:30 a.m. or sooner, some as early as 10 a.m. We've already got point spreads, we've got odds, we've got everything. Adam Silver spoke on Friday. The NBA news is great, but again, still in a holding pattern. Gentlemen, let's start like gentlemen. JD, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you guys. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
Good to be with you as well. I'd love to be able to see you, but apparently the Zoom isn't up and running yet. So welcome to mornings. We're 0-1 right out of the gate here, Dibs.
Yeah, and it's great because our producer, my man, John Curley, coming down my road at 5:57. Dibs, you on the Zoom yet? You on the Zoom yet? No, John. And good morning. How have you been? Haven't seen you in about 14 weeks, but go ahead and drive right down the lane here. He took the opening tip, Joe, and before I even had a chance to get back on D, he tried to dunk on me from half court. So I'm on the Zoom, but the Zoom is not on me. So,
yes!
Thank you. Anyway, good morning, Joe.
Good morning to you as well. Let's jump in with the big news that surfaced yesterday evening. Cam Newton is now a member of the New England Patriots. It's a one-year deal loaded with incentives that could add up to an additional $7.5 million. The news comes courtesy of Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen, ESPN, ESPN insiders. He's going to compete with Jared Stidham for the starting job. So it's Auburn Tiger versus Auburn Tiger crime. Stidham was a fourth round pick in 2019. He's thrown four career passes in his life. He stepped in for Brady for a couple moments in mop-up duty last year. He's thrown four total passes. Now, Newton's going to turn 31 years old, or he did turn 31 years old in May. He only played two games in 2019. They were the first two of the season. He had suffered a Lisfranc injury to his left foot during the preseason, gutted it out through two games, and then essentially was shut down for the year. That came on the heels of a shoulder injury, a right shoulder injury in 2018, in which he was having an incredible season. The Panthers were 6-2 entering week 10 against Pittsburgh. Newton's numbers were some of the best he had ever produced. They came courtesy of Norv Turner, who was the offensive coordinator in Carolina at the time. Newton suffers the shoulder injury against the Steelers in week 10. His numbers drop off the cliff. The Panthers go on to lose seven of their last eight games. So we'll start with the obvious stuff. And JD, as our guest, I'll come to you first. Cam Newton of the Patriots. How obvious was this one? Should we have seen this coming? And what do you think, based on all the landing spots for Cam Newton that were on the table?
Well, I think this gives him the best opportunity to win, and I think it shouldn't really come as a surprise. And I also found it interesting that the Patriots do this at the same time that the NFL hands down the penalties for, filming the field against Cincinnati, between a Bengals and Browns game. I think, they get sanctioned for that, what they lose a third-round pick and can't shoot video and get fined over $1 million. So they just kind of wipe those headlines away by signing Cam Newton. But I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's the best opportunity for him to come in, compete, and actually win football games. Belichick, he's playing chess, right?
Do you know that the difference between Schefter reporting the Newton news and then Schefter reporting the penalty news was 18 minutes?
That's what it was, 18 minutes?
I went back and I tracked Schefter's tweets. He breaks the story that Newton is going to the Panthers, and then 18 minutes later, Newton to the Patriots, and then 18 minutes later, oh, by the way, Patriots about to be fined $1.1 million. They're going to lose a third-round pick. They can't have any video guys taping any games in 2020, all from that stuff that happened when their advanced scout and videographer were taping the sidelines of that Bengals-Browns game because they had the Bengals on deck. 18 minutes, Dibs. Do you find that suspicious?
No, not suspicious at all. It's clear-cut what it is. The league lets them know, guys, just so you know, this punishment's coming down, and we're gonna release it on this date. And so the Patriots are like, okay, all right, thanks for that, Raj. And we'll go ahead and queue up our good news to slide that to Adam right before the bad news gets to him. It's just genius PR move, and it's what you do as a league when you want to take care of one of your crown jewels, because you have to punish them for yet another video incident. But you give them a heads up, you let them put their good news out first. It's just Raj doing Bob. Raj and Bob, they're buddies. He did the solid.
This is the first time in NFL history, according to Elias, the first time in NFL history that a team has lost a former MVP and gained a former MVP in the same offseason. The former MVP, obviously, who left was Tom Brady to the Buccaneers. The one they're gaining is Cam Newton to the Panthers. Do you think he's starting on week one, JD? I mean, he's coming in on a veteran minimum, and I think immediately people expect the Patriots to just become legitimate contenders, or at least more so than they would have been with Stidham. Their win total in Vegas was adjusted by at least half a game, depending on where you look. Their Super Bowl odds went from 25-1 to 20-1. That's the longest the Patriots have been to win the Super Bowl since the 2002 season. Is it a foregone conclusion Newton's going to come in and start week one, in your opinion?
No, not for me. I still think it'll be an open competition, and I think, Stidham could win the job, but it just gives Bill Belichick an option now. It gives him somebody with a little cachet that's done something in the league if Stidham doesn't work out. And look, that's not to say that Cam Newton won't win the job outright. I think that's a possibility, although I do believe it will be, an open, fair competition. It just gives an option if Stidham doesn't have it. All right, go to Cam Newton. I think they can also use Cam Newton. They could use both quarterbacks, frankly, if they want to initially, use Cam Newton, in some running packages, take Stidham off the field if he winds up, earning that job throughout the course of training camp. I think it's a brilliant move with the Patriots, defense. It gives them a great shot to still contend and win that division.
Dibs, you got Stidham or Newton starting in week one as of right now? You're not going to be locked in. It's still very early in the process.
Yeah, it's Newton for me, just assuming that he's able to get back from the injury. And I think the time off with the shoulder is going to help. And the Liz Frank is something that you need time off in order to heal. So assuming that he's going to be close to 100%, he's got the veteran status. I think that he, in what Bill Belichick's going to try to do, good defense, ball control, using his legs, like JD was saying. And I think that gives you a chance to let Stidham grow a little bit more, because four passes in your career, and now we want you to replace the GOAT? That's asking a lot out of Jarrett Stidham. So I think JD's right as far as the ability to maybe use both, but I think if Cam is healthy, and I assume he will be, he'll start in week one.
You're not exactly putting Stidham in the best of situations here. If you like him as a potential starting quarterback for the next few years, like if you really think this guy could be something, if he somehow wins the starting job, he's going to be expected to produce on a week-by-week basis
at a high level. These are Patriots fans, right? They root for the Red Sox. They root for the Bruins. They root for the Celtics. They don't have a second gear in terms of, all right, we can demonstrate some patience and give this guy an opportunity. They expect you to win. At the very least, they expect you to be highly competitive. You're putting Jared Stidham in a situation where if he doesn't come out and perform at a high level, like right out of the gate, JD, right out of the gate, they're going to be calling for Cam Newton. There's a lot more pressure on the young kid than there was originally if he was going to come into this season and just start with Brian Hoyer as his backup.
Yeah, I think so, but I also think in some ways it could wind up being less pressure because Cam Newton may just win the job outright. Like, could you imagine, you know, winning, you know, getting the job, you know, feeling like there isn't any pressure, and then you're Jarrett Stidham, and you go out there, and you're 1-3 after four games, and people are clamoring for anybody to come in and fill the void. At least now, I think there's a belief that there's somewhere an option to go to. So, yeah, I think it does put pressure on him, but it also kind of it builds in a safety net of, all right, if this kid can't get the job done, you have somebody that you feel confident in that at least has done it at a high level, you know, in the NFL previously. So I think the pressure would be worse if he comes in the first couple of weeks and doesn't play well, and there's a belief that quarterback is the only position that's holding that team back overall.
Today's show is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. The Chilton Auto Body text line is open. The phone lines are open. They are one in the same. 888-957-9570. Richard Sherman weighed in on the Cam Newton signing. Interesting angle he took as to what took so long for Newton to find a job. That's coming up next. It's Joe, JD, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
You got to keep it 100.
On 95.7 The Game.
This segment right here is presented by our friends at Golden State Lumber. They're open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Some of the locations as well are open on Saturday. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, coming up in 14 minutes to talk about Cam Newton signing with the Patriots and what's next for George Kittle and the San Francisco 49ers. Real quick, not sure if anyone saw this. If you like fights and you didn't see it, and you have access to ESPN Plus, Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker, UFC Fight Night Saturday night. It was in Las Vegas. It was the main event. Wow. This is your fight of the year. Five rounds. If you remember the ninth round of Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward in the first of their three amazing fights, that's kind of what the entire fight was like, especially the second round. Somehow these two went the distance. Poirier wins a unanimous decision. I don't know if either of you guys saw it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. If you're into it, somewhere down the line, check this out on ESPN Plus or anywhere else you may be able to find it. The fight was incredible. I can't believe two human beings can hit each other like that for 25 minutes and still be standing at the end of it, Dibs.
It's crazy because I hadn't seen it and I didn't watch it. And then this morning I've read two or three accounts of the bout, one likening it to an NBA game, JD, that was triple overtime, 148-146, where just back and forth and twists and turns and dunks and threes. But in this case, it's two grown men absolutely knocking each other's block off. So thanks for the tip on that, Joe. It's definitely going to be some pre-nap viewing today, JD.
Well, if there's one thing that I've learned, it's anytime there's a good fight, you just wait for the fight to play out and make sure you know it's a good fight, and then you go back and watch the fight rather than attempting to watch the fight, you know, before it actually happens and while it's actually going on. So I will file that one away. That's the best way to watch a fight.
Yeah, there you go. Get the tips from everyone else. You know, you find out who won, big deal. You go back, you enjoy the whole thing. I'm telling you, I didn't see it Saturday night, so I went back and watched it yesterday afternoon when I had some time. It's absolutely incredible. It doesn't matter. They're both winning. And you could also make the case they're both losing based on the punishment they're taking right in this thing. But it's worth watching whether you know the result or not. All right. So Joel Corey's coming up in 11 minutes. Let me ask you this, JD. Does it make sense to you that Chase Daniel is going to make more money this year than Cam Newton and Jameis Winston combined? Chase Daniel, backup quarterback for the Detroit Lions. He's never won an MVP. He's never led the league in passing. He's barely started any games in his life. He's going to make more cash this year than Cam Newton and Jameis Winston combined. Is there a problem there?
Well, I mean, on the surface, you would think that that's not right. But I think you also have to look at the circumstances, you know, by which Cam became available and the injury history that he's had. And I mean, the fact that I think, you know, he was sort of waiting out the market in an attempt to find a team that would be able to pay him more, and found himself in a position, frankly, where he had to kind of take what was left. And I think Jameis Winston, like Cam Newton, I think both of these quarterbacks wound up choosing situation over finances. They chose the best opportunity to go and almost remake their career. 1 year in New England, maybe it turns into 4 years in New England for Cam Newton. 1 year in New Orleans, maybe Drew Brees retires and Jameis Winston becomes the next guy in New Orleans. Or maybe they, you know, refurbish their career and go on and have you know, great career elsewhere on another team after, you know, this year with those two teams that have been steadfast and successful. So I think the benefit for those two quarterbacks is more about what it does for the remainder of their career and future earnings than it is about this one season.
Dibs, Richard Sherman, San Francisco 49ers Pro Bowl cornerback, weighed in on the Newton signing in New England. He weighed in yesterday right after the signing. This is the tweet. I want to get your thoughts on this. How many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum? Asking for a friend. Just ridiculous. A transcendent talent and less talented QBs are getting $15, $16 million a year. Disgusting. Do you agree with Sherman? Do you see his point here?
I do, and it I don't know if I would go so far as to say disgusting, but it is wildly unfortunate. And you mentioned Chase Daniel, Cam Newton, an MVP. The guy's been to a Super Bowl, and he's not so damaged, so broken that he can't come in and possibly be a starter for a team. But I look at Richard Sherman's tweet, and he's right on the surface. But you look around all the teams, all other 31 teams, because Carolina released him, so the other 31 teams, they all have different quarterback situations. There aren't that many spots that are ready made for a guy like Cam Newton to come in and be a veteran, start, and make $20 million a year. It's just the way it is, Joe, and you've laid this out so many times. Quarterbacks on rookie deals give you a much better chance to have a stronger roster top to bottom. So teams are more likely to take a chance on a draft pick, knowing they've got multiple years of affordable control, as opposed to paying a guy who may be near the end of his career due to what JD was talking about, all the injuries.
The thing that hurt Newton here through this process was the fact that when coronavirus hit, players in free agency weren't able to go about business as they normally do. They weren't able to travel around. They weren't able to meet with teams. And most importantly, they weren't able to meet with the doctors and go through detailed physicals to see where they were at from a health perspective. That's what hurt Newton worse than anything here, because the guy's coming off a shoulder injury 2 seasons ago, a Lisfranc foot injury that limited him to just 2 games last year. If you're going to invest money in this guy, you know the talent. You've seen him on TV. It's not as if you don't know what Newton brings to the table, what his upside is, what his downside is. But you got to get a look at where he's at from a shoulder and foot perspective. You're not going to dump $15 million guaranteed into a guy and then find out he's damaged goods, right? So if you couldn't get the medical reports on him, you couldn't end up signing him. No one wanted to take that risk. And meanwhile, other healthy quarterbacks are signing. Guys like Brady are moving on to Tampa Bay. The NFL draft takes place, so a lot of guys are being acquired. Tua Tagovailoa goes to Miami. They're set now. And meanwhile, Newton couldn't get a job. So I get Sherman's point. Newton's worth in a perfect situation is going to be a lot more than this. But again, this is capitalism. This is a free market society. You're worth what the market pays you. And Cam Newton getting a veteran minimum deal is what he's worth at the moment. So I could see him going out and outperforming the deal. But right now, the adjustment in Vegas from 25 to 1 to 20 to 1, people talking about how the AFC East, all these memes about, the Jets and Bills, here's what their fans look like right now. Are we that worried about Newton this season? Is he going to be that good? What's his weaponry look like? N'Keal Harry, who only played a little bit last year, but there's a lot of upside. Julian Edelman, who has trouble staying healthy. I'm not sure how great that offensive line is. I think even if Newton's healthy and ready to go, I don't think he does a whole lot for the Patriots. 9-7, maybe? The people thinking that these guys are all of a sudden going to rush the AFC East, I don't see it, JD. I can see why people want to make the case, but I don't think Newton's got that much left in the tank that he's going to be that great of a quarterback given the situation around him.
Yeah, I just think it's the combination of things that Dibs mentioned earlier in terms of ball control, just flexibility, you know, a quarterback that knows how to play the role, that you know, that can make throws, that can run, that can, you know, keep the football for what figures to be a good defense, and you're going to win that way. I mean, I don't know what ultimately the ceiling is in terms of wins. I mean, for me, it feels like they're about a 10-6 team if Cam Newton's healthy, wins that job, plays at a high level. Is that good enough to win the division? Maybe. I mean, there's an extra wild card spot now. So, you know, if they don't win the division, maybe they end up in a wild card and lose a playoff game or upset somebody in that wild card weekend. Either way you look at it, I think it gives the Patriots a better chance than they had a day ago to, you know, be a good team this season.
Yeah, would you say right now, JD, that they'd be favored in the AFC East, or would you put them as co-favorites with Buffalo?
Yeah, it's a coin flip to me. Because Buffalo's got the pressure. I mean, this is really the first year where somebody other than the Patriots, you know, feels a little bit more like the favorite or a co-favorite or a legitimate, you know, have a legitimate opportunity to knock the Patriots off and take that division. So. I do think it's 50-50. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Patriots won the division, but it's kind of on Buffalo to make it happen, and they're going to have to deal with that pressure.
Offshore, I was looking at the odds this morning. Right now, the Patriots are about even money to win the division. They're your favorites. Buffalo's in second at plus 160. The Jets are in third at plus 700, which means a $100 bet will give you $700 in profit if you play the Jets to win the division. That situation looks good with Adam Gase and Jamal Adams fighting each other in the news every day. The Jets, as usual, not even close to the start of the season, already dysfunctional. And then Miami at plus 750. Now, this is offshore, courtesy of FanDuel. I wouldn't play New England at plus 100 because a lot of people are going to point to the fact that they had a really good defense last year. You got to remember, foreign ball, really good defense last year, one of the best in the league. Go back and look at that schedule. They played nobody. They beat up on nobody for the longest time. Dallas should have beaten them in that Sunday afternoon game in the rain at Foxborough, but Jason Garrett, of course, mismanaged the hell out of that game late, so the Patriots escape with that one. But if you really stack the Patriots up in some of their biggest games last year, they didn't beat anybody. I don't think they got a whole lot on the table with or without Newton. So they're going to come in this season, and 9 wins to me is going to be a grind. Dibs, if you're picking right now, are you taking them to win the division?
Yeah, until I see otherwise. With Cam Newton at quarterback, I would still take them over Buffalo because of what you said about, you know, the way they beat Dallas, and they seem to find a way to win games. Obviously, they're going to have the best coach of any of the coaches in their division, any coach in football, and now you add a veteran quarterback, and I just wonder how Cam Newton matures as a player under Bill Belichick, because you've seen Cam and the way he's carried on the field, and it bristles some people, but he's out there making plays. There's one thing about Cam Newton is he doesn't shrink in the big moment. So with Patriots fans and assuming that he's the starter, you imagine him running out in Foxborough. They're going to go crazy for him. And I still think until somebody can show me that they can knock New England off, I'm going to default and take the Patriots to win the division.
Fun fact of the day. Do you know that Newton is only 15 months older than Taysom Hill?
Wow. 15 months?
Yeah. Newsom is he's Mormon. So he didn't join the NFL until he was already ready to retire. He's 20. Taysom Hill, everyone sees him as a guy who's played what? He's just coming off his third season, but he's going to be 30 years old in August. Newton just turned 31 in May. So everyone talking about Taysom Hill being the future of the Saints, not saying he won't be, but everyone looks at him as, oh, he's a young guy. He's only been in the league a few years. He's 15 months younger than Cam Newton. So there you go. There's your fun fact of the day.
Man, you
can take that one to the bar if you'd like.
That's incredible.
Bars aren't even open.
I mean, yeah, take that to the outdoor dining while you can still dine outside, JD. Take that one to the patio. Take that for data. That one stunned me. I had no idea of the relative Mormonism of the versatile Taysom Hill, JD.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible. I mean, if you had just said, JD, how old do you think Taysom Hill is? Like, no kidding, I would have said 26, 27, 26 probably. And I, wow.
Someone tweeted that last night, and I was like, man, I didn't realize Cam Newton was that young. And then it took me a few minutes. I'm like, Cam Newton's not that young. That's the wrong way to look at this, you idiot. Cam Newton is not young. Just because these two are close in age, I've been watching Cam Newton in the NFL. This is going to be his 10th season.
Wow.
10th season coming up. By the way, This is missed in the shuffle because a lot of people don't want to pay attention to these details. I don't blame you. It's boring stuff. But if Newton plays this year and he plays well for the Patriots and then he just happens to leave in free agency, that could be a third-round compensatory pick heading right back to New England. Oh, by the way, they lost a third-round pick in 2021 due to those penalties that were imposed upon them yesterday by the NFL for taping the Cleveland sideline, or excuse me, the Cincinnati sideline in the Cincinnati-Cleveland game last December. So you lose a third-round pick in 2021, you could gain a third-round pick in 2022. These guys, savvy businessmen at the very least, Dibs.
Right, and also savvy negotiators as it pertains to the punishment they receive from the NFL, because you're not going to come down too hard on New England, even though this is a second incident, JD, at least, of them videotaping an opponent for their own advantage, yet it's just a tiny little slap on the wrist with a third round selection, and the fact that Joe laid that out, Cam Newton plays and he plays well enough, they get a third coming back. So, in fact, it's not a punishment at all, except your third round pick would be, I think, in the supplemental spot, it'd be at the end of the round instead of in the middle of the round. So there you go, Patriots. Hope you learned your lesson.
It's nice to see he finally found a home. So many people were calling this, and then he ends up in New England, and it's going to be sliced so many different ways on TV and radio today, but you two have pretty much made the best possible point, which is, you got a guy who's thrown four career passes. You have no idea what he's going to bring to the table. There's a former MVP sitting out there who's not 40 years old. The guy's 31 years of age. There might be some injury concerns, but you can bring him in on a veteran minimum deal. It's kind of the conversation we've been having about Antonio Brown to the Niners, but instead of the injury concerns, JD, it's essentially the locker room concerns as it is with Brown. So to take this shot here for the Patriots, I mean, worst case scenario, what, Newton gets in and he doesn't play well? They're not expected to do a whole lot this year anyway.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. The one area where I would say it's a little bit different with Antonio Brown is you're very confident, at least I am. Maybe you disagree, but I'm very confident in the way, you know, Cam Newton and Bill Belichick are going to get along. Like, I think Cam has a work ethic, is going to be professional, is going to take to Bill Belichick and really use this as an opportunity to further the rest of his career as kind of a reboot, sort of right in the middle. Antonio Brown, I don't think we know what's going on with Antonio Brown. Like, Antonio Brown has duped a couple of teams. Hey, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm ready to come in and play. And then he shows up and he's everything but ready to play. Then he goes to the Patriots. Hey, I'm ready to play. I want to be here. And then, you know, little did we know there were some allegations that were coming that wind up getting him thrown right out of New England. So I think there's still a little bit of just wonder where Antonio Brown's head really is at, and I wonder if he could really get along with the 49er establishment, if you will, that's been so reticent to bring in anybody with any kind of outside problem.
Loneal out today, John Dickinson in his stead. So it's Joe, JD, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to the phones. Former NFL agent, terrific contracts and salary cap expert at CBS Sports, Joel Corey, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Joel, it's always great talking with you, man. I appreciate the time. Let's start with this. Cam Newton to the Patriots. It's a vet minimum deal with maybe $7.5 million in incentives that he can earn. Richard Sherman, 49er cornerback, tweets yesterday, how many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum? Just ridiculous. A transcendent talent and less talented QBs are getting $15 to $16 million a year. Disgusting. What do you make of this? I mean, the market bears what it bears. You get paid your worth. Sherman thinks this is disgusting. How do you see the Cam Newton deal?
Well, I'm not surprised that it's a deal like this, given the timing and the challenges you've had with signing him, that COVID-19 made it much tougher for him to sign because of the shoulder injury in 2018, the foot injury last year. If you're going to pay him significant money, you're going to have to give him extensive physical, and you couldn't get into facilities. And Cam's not a guy who was looking to be a pure backup. This has always made a lot of sense because New England going into the season with Jared Stidham as their definite starter always seemed a little bit of a stretch.
And as you look at the situation, end of June, camp's about a month away, how is he going to be able to get up to speed with a new team and learn the Patriots system and have a real ability to compete for the starting job with Stidham?
Yeah, it's a little bit tough. He's behind the eight ball because, one, it's been a different year, and then he's missed all the virtual offseason. It may be a situation where Stidham starts out as the starter. He struggles and Cam takes over at some point early in the regular season. But Cam is clearly the most talented guy because Stidham's an unknown quantity. We don't know if he's good or not. Could be another Tom Brady type. Could be another Ryan Mallett type. We just don't know yet. But great move for the Patriots. Low risk, potentially high reward.
Let's get into just the move for Cam Newton specifically. I mean, he's got a lot to gain as well, I think, in this, you know, moving forward. What is it about, you know, what do you think he hopes to learn from Bill Belichick that he can take with him for the rest of his career? Or is it just as simple as he needs to show that he's healthy and that he can do a lot of the things that he did before?
A little bit of both, more primarily showing he's healthy and can look like he did first half of 2018. Don't forget, before the shoulder problems cropped up, that the Panthers were 6-2, and people were talking about him as an MVP candidate. And if he can, the more you can learn about offense as a quarterback, the better off you're going to be. And between Belichick and Josh McDaniel, that I'm sure there's stuff he can learn, which will help on a go-forward basis. But really, he's trying to put himself in a position to showcase himself, if not to become New England's long-term starter, the long-term starter someplace else, and I'll say probably someplace else, because New England has not wanted to pay a quarterback or hasn't had to pay a quarterback top dollar or market value since 2010. That was the last time Brady took a deal, which was the market value, which made him the highest paid player in the league. So I'll say most likely, if Cam plays well, he's going to be someplace else next year in 2021.
Joel Corey, CBS Sports, joining Joe, JD, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Let's switch gears locally to the San Francisco 49ers and Pro Bowl tight end George Kittle. At what point should Niners fans start worrying that Kittle and the team have not come to terms on a new long-term deal?
There really is no time to worry, because they'll stick a franchise tag on him next year if necessary. The real concern, and I understand why Kittle wants to be paid like a wide receiver, because he is their primary offensive weapon. Just doesn't work that way in NFL. You get paid by position. Unless you can rush the passer, then it doesn't matter where you line up, you're going to be paid a premium. Christian McCaffrey, great receiver and a running back, he couldn't transcend the positional pay. He got an increase off of Ezekiel Elliott's $15 million per year. The problem is the tight end market's been stagnant forever. Jimmy Graham became the first $10 million per year tight end on a long-term deal in 2014. Austin Hooper advanced the ball on a long-term deal this year at $10.5 million per year. You're going to have to dramatically reset the tight end market, but if we're talking $17, $18, $19 million per year for Kittle, that's not happening, and the Niners will just go, you know what, we'll franchise you for around $10.5 next year. That's what the tag number will be for tight end if the cap remains flat, right around there. They could do it again for like 12-6. And if they had to, push came to shove in 2023, transition them for over $15 million. So those are two competing concerns. The Niners like to be proactive, but Kittle's not. I'll be shocked if Kittle gets wide receiver money. The Niners don't do stupid deals. And not that it'd be stupid, but they're not going to pay him something that dramatically over the tight end market when they don't have to.
Is part of their decision mitigated by the fact that they have other guys looming, whether it's McGlinchey or Fred Warner in the near future, and others like Nick Bosa that they're going to have to pay? Does that go into the calculus of just how aggressive they're going to be in making this deal happen?
Yeah, that always factors in the equation, because it's a finite pie. Not only are you looking at things from a cap standpoint, but a cash standpoint as well, and particularly this year, for year of uncertainty, that revenues are going to be down. We don't know how much, so that's less cash coming in. And then there's been a lot of speculation that the cap is going to take a precipitous drop with the revenue decrease. I'm of the mindset that since we have labor peace through the 2030 season, that they'll spread the losses out, the NFLPA and the league, that is, over multiple years, so the cap will be flat or won't take that big of a hit next year if push comes to shove.
Joel, you laid it out beautifully, the way the 49ers can pay George Kittle over the next few years. Ultimately, what do you think happens? Because it feels to me like it's The 49ers around 13 and a half million a year, maybe Kittle around 17 million a year. Do they settle somewhere in the middle, or do the 49ers just say, no, we're sticking to it. It's going to have to be in that 13, 14 range tops.
Well, really, to me, what I think is fair is you look at if you just contracts, and if you just the highest paid tight ends of all time, that would be Jimmy Graham and Gronk in their 2014 and 2011 deals. If you adjust them for cap inflation, and by that I mean how much the cap has gone up since they did their deals, then Jimmy Graham is just a shade under $15 million, and Gronk is just a little over $14.75 million. Putting him in that range, to me, would be fair. That's kind of splitting the baby between the 13 and 17. It's a tremendous jump over where the tight end market is now. And the only guy potentially who could leapfrog that would be Travis Kelce, because the day that that deal gets done, assuming it does, Kelce is going to be asking for at least $1 more.
Joel Corey, former NFL agent with Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Do you think it's Kittle before? Because I believe Zach Ertz is going to be coming up as well. So you've got Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle. How do you think the timing of the dominoes falls there?
I think Kittle gets done before Ertz. The interesting thing is the Eagles and Ertz's agent negotiated last year around the same time that they signed Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. But that structure wasn't acceptable to the agent, and they also couldn't agree on compensation, because I know that the mindset was that Ertz should be the highest paid guy catching a pass on the Eagles. Right now, that's Alshon Jeffrey at $13 million per year. And then the longer they don't do the deal, the less confident I am Zach Ertz remains an Eagle, because his contract, Dallas Goedert is very good. And Dallas Goedert is going to want a long-term deal. He's eligible for one after this season. So if you make a commitment to Zach Ertz, you're ultimately saying we're choosing Ertz long-term over Goedert, who's younger. And if you go ahead and pay Goedert after next year, if Ertz isn't done, you're basically saying that we're comfortable letting Zach Ertz go, and at some point it becomes we need to trade Zach Ertz and get what we can before he can walk, if it comes to that.
Final question for you. We've had a lot of discussion about Antonio Brown in these parts, because the 49ers might need a wide receiver with the injuries sustained by Deebo Samuel and Richie James Jr. Do you think another team ends up taking a shot on him, because he's supposed to come pretty cheap?
Seattle had interest in him last year. The question is, when is he going to be eligible to play? Because I'm assuming he's going to be facing some sort of personal conduct policy suspension from Roger Goodell. I wouldn't touch him for 10-foot pole personally.
Former NFL agent, he's a terrific contracts and salary cap expert at CBS Sports, Joel Corey, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Joel, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we got a lot to break down from that. Think about this, Niner fans. Think about this long and hard when you think to yourself, George Kittle might get $17, $18 million a year. That's what they should pay him. If they want to let him play out this year, based on what he's currently scheduled to make, franchise him for the following year, and then hit him with the franchise tag again, essentially, it would be 3 years, $25 million. 3 years, $25 million to have George Kittle over the next three seasons. That's the leverage the team brings to the table when they're negotiating with Kittle and his agent. So the question is whether or not something gets done in the near future, or whether or not this thing continues to drag itself on to where it might get a bit contentious. It's Joe, JD, and Dibs. We're back with that next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
Monica!
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. This segment right here, presented by our friends at Golden State Lumber. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday as well. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. Two-time Super Bowl champ Christian Fourier coming up in about 11 minutes at 7 o'clock. John Clayton will join us at 8:30. Fourier does radio in Boston, WEEI, so we'll get the lay of the landscape in the Northeast regarding the Cam Newton signing that went down yesterday with the New England Patriots. One-year deal, veteran minimum, can earn up to $7.5 million more in incentives. We'll be breaking it down throughout the course of the day, but we're going to pivot for just a moment right now. John Dickinson in for Lorenzo Neal today. Low scheduled to be back tomorrow. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, joined us in the last segment. We asked him about George Kittle, what to expect moving forward. Big numbers have been thrown around regarding what George Kittle's worth, but what are the Niners willing to pay? The leverage the Niners have is extraordinary in this situation. Kittle still has 1 year left on his rookie deal. It's going to pay him a little over, I believe, $2 million per year. Now, Corey talked about how if he plays this year on that deal and then the Niners franchise him the following year, it would be around $10.5 million. Then if you franchise him again, there's a 120 or 125% increase on that salary for the second time being franchised. Don't worry about the details. Just know that this year plus two more years, the Niners have the ability to have George Kittle under contract. He can't do anything about it but hold out. It would be 3 years, $25 million. 3 years, that's barely over $8 million per year. So that's a massive win for the Niners, and it's George Kittle in his absolute prime dibs. So flexing that kind of leverage, where do you think the number then lies for what you're willing to take if you're George Kittle? Because you get the signing bonus with it, you get guaranteed money, you get security down the road. Where do you think that number now lies?
I think the number lies at about 12 or 12 and a half average per value, average per season, which is going to be about 20% higher than the highest tight end contract right now. And that's kind of where I've been the whole time, is right in that 12 to 13 million per year range. Because if you just look at his impact, forget the position, he's worth 17, 18 million a year. What he does in the run game, what he does in the pass game, heck, what he does for the fan base and your brand, all that together, he's worth the world. But then you mentioned it, 3 years and 25 million, and they can do that. They don't even have to flex that. That's just out there. So when you talk about 8 million a year, which is what the Niners could do if they wanted, or 18, which is what he's worth, I think you wind up at about that 12 and a half million per year range.
JD, if you put $13 million on the table right now per year, multiply it over, say, 5 years, put a nice chunk of guaranteed cash on there as well. If you're Kittle and his agent, do you take that deal or do you hold out for more?
I'm playing out 2020, and if that's what's on the table moving forward, I'm not showing up in 2021 until we get into the $15 million range at a minimum. It's going to have to be closer to 15 to get me to sign in terms of the average value.
How prepared would you be then for an extended holdout?
If I'm Kittle or if I'm the Niners.
If you're Kittle and you're gonna do that, so you take your 2 point whatever it is this year and your rookie deal's done, and then they tell you next year we're gonna put the franchise tag on you, and over the course of the negotiations throughout the spring and the summer, you'll have until mid July to get a deal done, and then that's it. If you can't get something done by mid July, how prepared would you be for an extended holdout? Do you think he would really consider a deep holdout? Because a lot of guys threaten it, and then they show up. And then there are guys that, like Le'Veon Bell, just said, peace. I'm not coming in. I'm not showing up. I'm not dealing with any of this. You're paying me, or that's that.
I don't think he goes the full Le'Veon Bell, but and I think you know how this season turns out for the 49ers is also a big part of it. But you could make a case, depending upon how this season goes, and if the 49ers don't go as far as they did last year, which the odds are they probably won't go as far as they did last year, that he only becomes more imperative to have around. And so I think as that pressure builds, I would be prepared to sit out all the way until the regular season starts, because at that point I'm George Kittle. I know I fit. I know I can walk in and essentially play. I would be prepared for a lengthy holdout until I start losing game checks.
And you're talking about holding out this year, or you would be talking about holding out next year?
Next year,
yeah. That to me is just so risky from Kittle's side, because we saw this year, not that he's vulnerable to injury, but the way he plays, the way he puts his body through the rigmarole of being a physical player, injury is a real possibility. So if I'm George Kittle and I see the situation, I don't want to play out another snap on the rookie deal making only $2.5 million because the risk is so tremendous that something terrible could happen. If I was in his spot, I would say, you know what, even though I'm worth 17 or 18, I got $65 million on the table, 35 of which, let's say, is guaranteed, as opposed to I'm playing out a season for 2.5. And JD's right, you can't expect the Niners to do as well as they did last year. Maybe Kittle has a little bit of a down year, and you never know what could happen over the course of 16 games. So I think that what you say, JD, about a holdout and all that, it's definitely an approach. I can't imagine George Kittle risking that, though, in my opinion.
It's a nice piece of leverage. It's not a great piece of leverage, but it's a nice piece of leverage in Kittle's pocket because he is absolutely beloved. Would you say right now that he's the most popular San Francisco 49er?
Yeah, it would be he or Garoppolo, and then you get to Bosa and then Richard Sherman. But I think that they're 1 and 1A. I would say Kittle over Garoppolo, though, just for the hair flips. And, you know, you can't really relate to Jimmy Garoppolo if you're an average fan. You can relate to Kittle. He's got the crazy hair. He's a little bit unkempt. He's kind of a wild man. Jimmy G, it's like he's gorgeous. He's perfect. You don't relate to him as much as a regular person as you do George Kittle.
Feels great, baby.
You don't relate to him at all. Literally, do you and Garoppolo, do you think, have one thing in common outside of the fact that you're both men living in the Bay Area?
Hey, we both have two eyebrows. so that would be another thing, Joe. And I could go anatomically speaking, thank you, top to bottom. But needless to say, yes. The only big difference is when he puts a mask on, he gets uglier and I get better looking.
He's on fire today, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, the 6 o'clock hour, completely different than the 7 o'clock hour here on Joe Lo and Dibs 95.7 The Game. JD in for Lorenzo Neal, who's scheduled to be back tomorrow. I mean, that's rare. That's rare that a tight end is going to be more popular than the team starting quarterback. And you might make the case for Garoppolo, but it's close. It's close enough where if you're the Niners, the last thing you want is bad PR over this. You have worked so hard to get this fan base back. Not just because you stunk, but because you also moved the team all the way down to the South Bay, right? Like, there was the beef about moving the team out of San Francisco and putting them down in Santa Clara. And a lot of people, Butcher Boys at the front of the list, our producer John Curley, lifelong diehards, not happy with that decision. The organization knows that. Then it's just a series of calamities. Harbaugh, followed by Tom Sula, followed by Chip Kelly, followed by the disasters early on in the Shanahan era. And now that you finally have something cooking, the last thing you're going to want is some element of bad business that gets the fan base all riled up. All riled up. Now, it's business, but it's business to you. It's not business to them. They don't see it that way. They see it as pay Kittle, we love him, he's awesome, and get moving. Because we spend a ton of money on this product. You're printing money hand over fist. It shouldn't be an issue. So that's the one piece of leverage that I think Kittle's really got against the Niners, plus a holdout, JD, is the fact that the second you start to hear that Kittle might not show up, he's not going to be viewed as a selfish player. It's going to be very easy to highlight the fact that he's made like $4 or $5 million in 4 years with the team. The fans are going to side with George Kittle.
They absolutely will. And I think, you know, Kittle is in the unique position where he is probably owed more than the value, right? He's owed more than what you can look at a spreadsheet and determine you have to pay him if you're the 49ers. You have to pay him based on intangibles, based on what he's done for you already. He is one of the few guys where, you know, making $2 million in 2020, if I'm George Kittle, I'm thinking, you know what? It's not just about 21 and 22 and 23. It's about what I provided that I was underpaid for previously. It's about the impact in the passing game and the running game. It's about the intangibles in creating a culture that, you know, is very much different than what's been with the San Francisco 49ers in years previous. So I think all of those intangible things are things that George Kittle, a lot of guys don't get paid for those. Him going into his, you know, prime years, he's one of the few that I think deserves to be paid that way.
But not overpaid at the same time, because then it would hamstring your ability to do what the 49ers have done, which is create a good team. And so, and I think Kittle understands that, and not that you're going to take a bargain in the interest of helping your team out. But at the same time, Joe, I don't see him being a guy who's going to try to wring every last out of the 49ers and completely blow up the budget for the future.
What's going to be fair, and I agree with you completely on that, is that he becomes the highest paid tight end in the NFL, and he does it by a considerable margin. Not a certain situation where the average is 10.5, Austin Hooper, he's the highest, and you get 11. It's got to go above and beyond that because he's not Austin Hooper. He's done more than Austin Hooper. He's more prominent, more popular, more successful, more productive. It's not to knock Hooper. It's just if that's what he's getting at 10.5, you've got to come up. But then the difference is we're going to come up, but Joel said this perfectly. it doesn't matter if you put up wide receiver numbers. You're not a wide receiver. The only position that works for is pass rusher, outside linebacker, DN, D tackle, whatever. If you can rack up 20 sacks, you're going to get paid like a guy who can rack up 20 sacks. It doesn't matter what position you pay. So Christian McCaffrey, if he couldn't sell the Panthers on the fact that he should be paid wide receiver money, Kittle's not going to be able to sell the Niners on the fact that he should be paid wide receiver money. But that doesn't mean he can't reset the market in somewhat dramatic fashion.
Yeah, I think that if I was his agent, JD, I'd be looking more for left tackle money if I was George Kittle, because he's ostensibly their third tackle the way they run the football. And that's, you know, maybe you trip up the Niners. We don't want receiver money. We just want left tackle money. Why don't we start where Trent Williams is, and we'll head a little north of there, JD. What do you think the Niners say to that?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit more in line. I mean, for me, it still comes down to, okay, $13 million. You know, a year is about, you know, that's probably pushing that. That's probably where the 49ers would go. I think 17 or 18 is probably what Kittle wants. I think you got to come up from that 13 or 13 and a half million dollar range and get into the 15 and a half, where it's in Kittle's eyes still a bargain, and in the 49ers eyes not, you know, wide receiver money or
the other 31 teams would hate the 49ers. Any team with a halfway decent tight end, if they come over the top and they put it at $15 million, that's not resetting the tight end market. That is vaporizing, exploding the tight end market. If you take the top tight end deal and you go 40% over that, other teams are going to be pretty angry at the 49ers, I would imagine, behind closed doors.
Kansas City, first and foremost, Travis Kelce, right. And Philadelphia with Zach Ertz, which whether or not they let him go, whoever he'd sign with, that deal's going to have to be in line, because you're going to put the two together and you're going to say Ertz's numbers are through the roof compared to Kittle's numbers. So what do you want to pay him? It's going to completely reset the market, but it's also been a long time coming, because that market hasn't been reset in years. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. But with a twist, Lowe's out today, scheduled to be back tomorrow. Good friend John Dickinson in for Lowe today as we get set to rock and roll up until 10 o'clock. The big story of the day is what surfaced yesterday afternoon. Cam Newton, former Carolina Panthers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.